Title: Cassette Washed Pads with Live 12 Stock Packs Advanced. All right, let's build one of the most useful atmosphere tools in rolling drum and bass, the cassette washed pad. This is that wide, slightly unstable, hissy, mid-focused wash that makes a minimal break and bassline feel expensive. And we're doing it stock only in Ableton Live 12, using Wavedable, stock effects, and stock packs. Before we touch a single knob, set the context. Put your project at about 174 BPM. Now make three tracks, one for drums, one for bass, and one for the pad we're building. The reason is simple. If you design pads in solo, you'll almost always make something that feels huge by itself and then turns into fog the moment the snare and bass come in. We want this pad to live behind the groove, not on top of it. Now, on your pad track, load Wavedable. If you want a fast start, open the browser, go into Packs, and grab any Wavedable pad preset that's already in the right emotional zone. We're going to reshape it anyway, so don't overthink the starting point. Drop in a long MIDI clip and write a moody DNB progression. The classic is the minor I to VI to Roman 7 move. For example, in F minor, F minor to D flat to E flat. Keep your chord voicings out of the low end. Start around F3 up to F5. In rolling DNB, you don't need jazz Olympics here. The movement is going to come from modulation, not chord complexity. Now let's design the chord tone in Wavedable. For oscillator 1, pick something warm and mellow. Think sine-ish, triangle-ish, or an analog-style table that doesn't scream in the top end. Keep the Wavedable position away from the bright extremes. Somewhere around 20-40% is a good starting zone. Oscillator 2 is your detail layer. Choose something slightly brighter, but keep it tucked. Detune it a little, like +7 to +15 cents, and pull its level down, around 10-18 dB quieter than OSC 1. We're not building a supersaw, we're building a pad that feels like it's been printed and softened. Turn on unison, but stay conservative. 2-4 voices, low amount. We're going to create most of the width later in a way that doesn't wreck mono. Now filter it. Use a low pass, LP24 if you want it more weighted, LP12 if you want slightly more air. Set cutoff somewhere between roughly 600 Hz and 2.5 kHz, and adjust it while your drums and bass are actually playing. That's key. If your pad sounds gorgeous but your snare loses its crack, the filter is too open, or your midrange is stepping on the snare. For envelopes, give it a soft start. Attack around 40 to 120 milliseconds. Decay a few seconds. Release a few seconds. Sustain can sit a bit under full, like 60 to 80%, or roughly -6 to -12 dB depending on how you like your pad to sit. At this point, you want stable and not too bright. The cassette vibe doesn't come from tape plugins. It comes from movement, bandwidth limits, and gentle distortion and compression. Now let's add the tape instability, wow and flutter. And we're going to do it like grown-ups, subtle enough that it reads as nostalgic and alive, not seasick and out of tune. First, the slow wow drift inside Wavedable. Use LFO1 with a sine shape, very slow rate, like 0.08 to 0.25 Hz. Map it to oscillator pitch, tiny amount. We're talking a few cents, ±3 to 8 cents is plenty. If you go bigger, you'll start fighting the bass tuning and it'll feel like your whole track can't decide what key it's in. Now for randomness, because real tape isn't perfectly periodic. In Live 12, drop an LFO modulator device after Wavedable. Set the waveform to random, ideally a smooth sample and hold style. Rate somewhere from 0.2 up to 1.2 Hz. Map it either to Wavedable fine tune or filter cutoff. Again, small range. If you map to pitch, keep it within cents. If you map to cutoff, keep it within a few hundred Hz max. The goal is realism, not listen to my modulation. For micro flutter, I like a trick that doesn't scream effect. Add auto filter after Wavedable, set it to LP12, just trimming a little brightness. Turn on its LFO and set the rate around 6 to 12 Hz, with a very small amount, like 1 to 5%. You're not trying to hear a wah, you're trying to feel a slight shimmer in the upper texture, like tape tension wobble. Quick coach note, convincing cassette movement usually has multiple time lanes. You want very slow drift over phrases, medium movement over bars, and micro flutter as texture. If all your movement happens at one speed, it sounds like an obvious preset effect. Spread it across pitch, filter, and stereo, and keep each one subtle. Now, before we hit our tape chain, let's gain stage so the processing behaves predictably. Bring the pad level down so that before saturator and compression, it's not slamming. A simple target peaks roughly around -10 to -6 dBFS on that track. If you hit the chain too hard, wow and flutter starts to read as detuning, and chorus turns into fizzy facey width. We want control. All right, now the cassette processing chain, stock devices only. First, EQ 8, we're going to band limit like cassette. High pass the pad, usually 120 to 250 Hz. In DNB, pads do not get to compete with sub, kick, and the bass fundamental. If you skip this, your mix will feel smaller and less punchy, even if the pad sounds big. If it's muddy, dip a little in the 250 to 500 Hz zone, 1 to 3 dB. Then low pass it, try 7 to 12 kHz with a gentle slope like 12 dB per octave. This does two things: it sounds more printed, and it also prevents your reverb tail from turning into a bright wash that steps on your snare and hats. Second, saturator. This is your tapish soft clipping. Use soft sign or analog clip. Drive somewhere like 2 to 8 dB depending on the source. Turn on soft clip most of the time. Then match the output so bypass and engaged are about the same loudness. You want to hear tone change, not just it got louder. Third, glue compressor. Gentle glue, not EDM pumping. Ratio 2 to 1. Attack 3 or 10 ms, release on auto or about 0.3 seconds. Set threshold so you're getting maybe 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction when the pad is sustaining. This makes it feel printed and stable. Fourth, chorus ensemble. This is the wash and width. Pick chorus or ensemble mode. Rate slow, like 0.10 to 0.35 Hz. Amount around 10 to 30%. Width can go wide, 120 to 200%. But keep your mix reasonable, maybe 15 to 35%. We want lushness, not face soup. Fifth, utility. This is where we keep it club safe. Turn on bass mono and set it around 150 to 250 Hz. Then adjust overall width, somewhere from 80 to 130% depending on how wide your break and hats are. If your drums already live wide, the pad doesn't need to be a stereo flex. It needs to be a bid. Sixth, hybrid reverb. This is the roomy tape haze. Use algorithm mode and choose room or plate. Predele around 10 to 25 ms so the groove stays punchy. Decay for drop sections, maybe 2.5 to 4 seconds. Intros can go longer, like 5 or 6 seconds, but be careful. Cut lows inside the reverb, like 200 to 400 Hz. Cut highs too, maybe 6 to 10 kHz. And keep mix lower than you think in the drop. Often 8 to 22% is enough. In intros, sure, 20 to 35% can be gorgeous. But in the drop, too much reverb makes your snare feel like it lost authority. Now let's add hiss, because hiss done right is pure vibe. Done wrong, it's just annoying white noise. Option 1. Make a hiss layer with Wavetable. Create a new MIDI track called Pad Hiss. Load Wavetable, and use a noise source or a noisy Wavetable. Then band limit it. High pass around 2 to 5 kHz, low pass around 10 to 14 kHz. Add auto filter with a super slow LFO, like 0.05 to 0.2 Hz, just to give a gentle motion. Light saturator if needed. Then, and this matters, mix it way down, like you should feel it more than you hear it. Think minus 25 to minus 35 dB range. And yes, sidechain the hiss too, because when your drums get busy, hiss can pile up and make everything feel smaller. Option 2. Use analog's noise, bandpass it, and treat it similarly. Either way is fine. Extra realism trick. Make the hiss behave like a cassette, where noise sort of blooms when the signal is hot. Group your pad and hiss together. On the hiss track, add a compressor sidechain from the pad itself, not the drums. Set it subtly so the hiss rises slightly when the pad sustains. If you can clearly notice it, it's too loud. This is seasoning. Now we make it EDNB functional. Sidechain and breathing. The goal is groove interaction without obvious pumping. Add a compressor for sidechain. In DNB, sidechaining from the snare is often more musical than from the kick, because the snare is the anchor in the groove. Set the sidechain input to your snare track, or your drum bus if that's easier. Ratio 2 to 1 up to 4 to 1. Attack around 5 to 20 ms. Release around 80 to 160 ms. Aim for about 1 to 4 dB of reduction on snare hits. You're making room for impact, not turning the pad into an EDM pump. Now a placement trick. If you put the sidechain compressor before the reverb, the pad ducks but the room stays stable. Cleaner, usually better for rolling drops. If you put the sidechain after the reverb tail breathes too, which can sound awesome and washy, but it can also smear your snare if you overdo it. For most drops, try pre-reverb sidechaining first. Optional extra movement. Auto pan with phase set to 0 degrees. That turns it into volume modulation, not panning. Sync it to half a bar or one bar and keep amount tiny, like 5 to 12%. This gives you a slow head bump that feels like the pad is interacting with the groove even when the side sheen is subtle. Now do 3 fast masking checks. This takes 30 seconds and saves you an hour later. First, mute and unmute the pad while the full beat plays. If the snare loses crack when the pad is on, carve a little around 1.5 to 3 kHz or reduce chorus mix and width. Second, listen to bass note read. If the bass pitch becomes unclear, the pad probably has too much 200 to 450 HE or too much pitch modulation. High pass more, dip that low mid pocket or reduce wow depth. Third, check mono. Put a utility on your master and hit mono. If the pad collapses and gets louder, that's phase buildup from chorus. Reduce width or reduce chorus mix. Now arrangement. You'll get way more pro results by making 2 versions. One for intro, one for drop. Duplicate the pad track. Call them pad intro and pad drop. For pad intro, increase reverb mix, like 25 to 35%, and longer decay, maybe 5 to 8 seconds. Make it wider, utility width around 120 to 150%. Increase wow depth a touch, maybe 20% more. Bring hiss in gradually over 16 to 32 bars, and automate the filter cutoff slowly opening to build anticipation. For pad drop, shorten decay, like 2 to 4 seconds, and reduce reverb mix, like 8 to 15%. Tighten width, maybe 90 to 120%. Darken it slightly with a lower low pass, because darker often feels heavier without getting louder. Increase sidechain a little, like an extra 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction, so the snare and bass stay dominant. If you want a dense nostalgia trick, do the printed twice method. Duplicate the whole pad track. Keep one cleaner with less modulation. Make the second one more degraded, more wow, more low pass, slightly more saturation, and tuck it lower in the mix. Pan or widen the degraded one slightly more. Blended together, it reads like multiple tape generations, which is instantly cinematic. And if you want that ultra-real tape splice vibe, resample the pad to audio. Then open the clip and draw tiny clip gain dips, like 1 to 2 dB. Every few beats but not perfectly on grid. Add a couple of micro fades, a few milliseconds, at random points. It's subtle, but it makes it feel like a physical medium. Let's wrap it up with the big idea. Cassette washed pads are not about being huge. They're about being controlled, moving, and mix aware. This audio version is shortened for playback.